Lord, today we come to you. We recognize that you're the one. You're the God who created everything. It's in you, Lord, that we find our being. Today, Lord, we come to hear what you might have to say to us. Lord, as we look at the scripture in 1 Peter, we learn about the foundational things of God. Lord, we just ask that you might sow some things into us. Today, Lord, we just come to seek you. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, as I share, I pray you give me the words you want me to share. Lord, we do thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, they're going to adjust the mic here a little bit and make it a little bit better for you, I'm sure. But last week, Pastor Greg started us off with a series called Simon Says. And we think of that game, right? You know, stand up. All right, everyone, Simon Says, stand up. None of you are good at this game. I could see that, you know. Greg, your kids would win at this game with these people here. You know, last week Greg said his kids never win that game, but I can see. Let's try to get ready. Simon says, no, you don't need to stand up. This mic is driving me crazy. So we're talking about this idea of Simon. 1 Peter is the book, and Peter had this dictated and written out, and Peter was known as Simon Peter. So that's where we're getting this idea of Simon Says. And Peter, in this book, he was like a father. He's sitting down talking to children, us, his family, and he's kind of telling us about these truths about God. So that's where we get this idea, Simon Says. So we're going to hear what Simon has to say to us. So last week, Pastor Greg started us off, and he's just told us a lot of things about Peter, about his life, just setting this stage. And he used this one phrase came up. It said, live life as the people of God who embrace the mission of God with the suffering love of God shown to us in the gospel of God. One of Greg's friends actually wrote this, and we're using that this week. But this idea, when you're thinking about that, live life as the children of God, right? All the way through this, what is this whole thing about? It's about God. We start thinking the scriptures. You know, when we go into Genesis, who do we think about in Genesis? Well, you got the animals and you got Adam and Eve. No, really what it's about is about God. In the beginning, God. That's kind of a foreign concept for us, for everything that we experience has a beginning and an end, but with God, there isn't. He just is. But all the way through Scripture, we see God. We see about Abraham. It's not about Abraham. It's about God. It's not about Isaac, Jacob. It's about God. It's not about Moses. It's about God. It's not about David. It's about God. Then in the middle of the Bible, it becomes about God again because it's about Jesus. Jesus, God becoming down like one of us. God living life like one of us, God dying, God rising again, all the way through, it's about God. Even if you get to the end of the Bible, you got Revelation, it's about God, and it talks about how if we know Jesus, we dwell with God forever. All the way through life, as we know it, it's about God. And that's what Peter lays out before us. It's kind of these, it's almost like these building blocks of faith. It's built on God. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 that talks about Jesus being a cornerstone. And on that cornerstone, our faith is built. If you look at the picture, you see Jesus in the picture. And then you see all these other faces up on the other blocks. We're going to get into it in 1 Peter in a few weeks. But it talks about us being these living stones, that we're built on this one foundation. So when Peter gets in and he starts talking here, we're talking about this foundation that we're built on because of God. And he lays it out. It began with God. It ends with God. It's all about God. And our life really is found in God. So open your Bibles up if you have them. It's going to be on the screen. We're moving right along. We're going to get through 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to get through 3 verses, 3 through 5 today. We're moving right along. You know, Greg did 2 verses last week. I'm doing a little better than him. I'm going to get through 3. Now, actually, when we go through this first chapter, it's going to take us 4 or 5 weeks to get through this, the first chapter, and then things are going to pick up, and we're going to go through the rest of the book a little quicker. But it's so important to understand the foundation. Anyone in here a carpenter? What do you need if you're going to build something? Oh, Hans put his hand up here. Ed put his hand up here. Any other? I didn't see any other hands go up here. You've got to have a good foundation. You don't start with the attic, do you? You start with the foundation. Because everything is built on that. And that's kind of what we're doing here today. And when I saw Hans raise his hand, I would like to just stop for a second here. Hans has a granddaughter here in Scotia who, well, I don't know the whole situation, but she has been on life support here. And there's no brain activity at this time. And right here in our village. So it's a 16-year-old girl. What was her name again? Casey. Let's just pray for Casey and her family and Hans. If you're looking, you know, do something weird right now, maybe put your hand out towards Hans and we'll represent him as our family. And I know that might be strange for some of you, but we'll do something that is strange. Lord, we just pray for Casey right now. We pray for her family. Lord, I can't imagine having my teenager in a situation where they tell us that they're brain dead. Lord, we pray for her. Pray for her parents. We pray for wisdom. Lord, we know you being God and creator of everything, you can change things around. And Lord, like a light switch, you can turn her brain back on. Lord, we come before you and we ask for that. But Lord, even as Hans reminded me, we want to pray what's your will, what's your desire. Lord, we do pray for great grace and mercy and peace in their family. Father, we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this foundation that we're built on if we know Christ. And if we look at 1 Peter, it talks about we have this living hope. Peter starts out by saying, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's grace and mercy, he caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now we hope for the blessings God has for his children. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time." So we're looking at this scripture, and we're just seeing how Peter is talking about everything now is built on God. And how does Peter start out? He starts out by saying, "Praise God. Praise be to God. God has changed me in everything." You go back and you read the scriptures early on and you see Peter is this guy who's kind of out there a little bit. I mean, he's kind of flamboyant. He's boisterous. He's got a big mouth. He's sticking his foot in it all the time. He was this fisherman, kind of rough guy, making some outrageous claims, promises Jesus hours before he dies, "I'll never leave you," and then runs away because a little girl asks him, Do you know him?" No, I don't know the guy." And he denies Jesus. But his life is transformed to where he becomes this great apostle of God, this great man who just loves to share about Jesus. His faith so strong, he even is willing to die for him. Not death by lethal injection or anything. Death by hanging upside down on a cross. Because he didn't feel himself worthy enough to die the same way Jesus died. though he asked to be hung upside down. There's a radical transformation that occurred in his life. And his whole response is, I just want to thank God. I praise God for how he changed my life. How about you? Are you that way? Has God changed your life? Have you seen this transformation occur and that you can say thanks? Thank you, God. I see some hand raised. That was a good thing. Another hand raised back there. I see other hands raised. God's changed us. We were talking in our men's study this last Thursday night. We're doing this book called Crazy Love. And somehow we got up on talking about what if God was real? You know, would there be this change and the transformation? And I was quick to say, you know what? I don't think I'd be a whole lot different. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't know if it would make that much of a difference. And immediately I remembered what I was like when I came to know Christ. Now, I was young. I was 9 years old when I came to know Jesus. And it was at a family Bible camp. Sitting on my mother's lap, I gave my life to Christ. Now, before that, it was third grade, okay? In third grade, I'm one of the bigger guys in the class. And, you know, I kind of had this goal that I wanted to be a tough guy. We had this thing, we had this crazy thing in our school. Whenever a new kid moved to school, he'd have to fight all the boys. You guys ever have that experience or seen that? A new kid comes in and you have to find out, all right, where does he fit into this chain of command type thing? And he'd start fighting this guy, and if he beats him, he gets to go to the next guy. I'm serious. I mean, maybe we were just a country school, this, you know, Morseville, Hickville. But that's how it was. And in third grade, I was looking to be a tough guy. I mean, I would do bad things. I'd swear. You know. I would, I didn't smoke in third grade. I saw someone go like, I didn't do any of that. I told Phil here early today, I just have a hard time remembering things today. And they go, it must be all the drugs I didn't do, because I just wasn't into drugs. I was into basketball. And at that time, you know, you just didn't do drugs if you're an athlete. Today, athletes do drugs to get, you know, stronger, bigger. My day, they didn't do that. But in third grade, I was looking to be this tough kid. Playing kill a carrier out on the playground, throwing people down, you know. And that summer, we went to this family Bible camp. And they had this rickety old golf course, miniature golf thing. So we're playing golf with my cousin and one of his friends that he went to church with. And I happened to win in... his friend got mad and threw a golf ball at me, hit me in the side. I swore at him. I won't say to you what I said to him. And he goes, oh, he was, you know, I mean, he threw a golf ball at me. I swore at him. I think that's kind of worse than swearing, but it blew him away. He goes, I'm going to go tell your parents you said that. And he took off, and I took off. I said, you better get to my parents before I get to you. later that week, though, sitting on my mother's lap, I realized God became flesh. God came down and he took my sin and he died on the cross for me. And sitting on my mother's lap, crying, I gave my life to Jesus. And there was a change that took place in me. And you know, I went back to school that fall. Now I'm fourth grade. I'm still one of the bigger kids. And I wasn't looking to be this tough guy. You know, I was kind of more reserved, more relaxed. You know, I can't say I didn't get in any other fights. There's a couple. But he deserved it. But I was a different person. I was changed. I was more interested in caring for people. Then I was a different person. As a man, I can look back and that was different. See, God had that impact. So you know what? If I didn't have Jesus now, if I never came to know him, who knows where I would have gone from this tough third grader, as tough as a third grader can be, where I would have gone down that road. Maybe I would have become a real bully. Maybe I would have become, who knows? Who knows where I would be? But Jesus changed my life. And that's what Peter's talking about here. He goes, I praise God because God changed my life. I was this, and now I'm here. I'm different. He goes on to say, God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope. Boy, there's a lot in this whole verse, isn't there, in this line. God's great mercy. How did God show us great mercy? God, I can't imagine what God's like. Okay? God is way big. And He became like us. The Creator became like the creation. He lowered Himself to become like Vinny. He lowered Himself to become like Gary, like Kim, like Jay. God lowered Himself to become like us. For a reason. Because He knew that there's no way that we could be with Him and the Father in heaven if He didn't do this. So out of His great love, out of His great mercy, He came. And then it says, He caused us to be born again. Now wait a minute. Did God caused you to be born? Wait a minute. No, I chose God. Right? No. It said that before, the scriptures say that before the foundations of the world, God chose you. I'm pretty sure there's no one here older than the foundations of the world. Pretty sure. God chose you. Holy Spirit says that the Holy Spirit comes in and He draws people to God. No one can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draw him. So even if somehow or another you decided that you wanted to follow Jesus, I have decided, you know the song, to follow Jesus. Even if that point you came, it's because God chose you and He called you. Aren't you glad I don't sing? I got to get a guitar here. All I got to do is cry now and I'll be just like Greg. God caused us to want to know Him. He caused us to be born again. Now, what does born again mean? Back in my day, long time ago, born again wasn't a really popular word. I mean, the born againers, they were Bible thumpers. They're shoving the scripture down your throat. You know, you're going to go to hell if you don't know Jesus. You know, those were those type of people that were known as born again. And it kind of got a bad name in some ways. Now, it is kind of true, too, though, right? We need to know Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, our destination is hell. But to be born again, we can find out about it in John chapter 3. There was this guy named Nick. Maybe you heard about Nick. Nick, or maybe you know Nicodemus. He was this Sanhedrin. He was one of 120. They were leaders of Israel. Of the whole nation, there's only 120 of them. He's one of them. He's a pretty important guy. Heard about Jesus. Was wondering about it. In one night, he went to visit Jesus. He says, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to have this? To know God? And Jesus said, you got to be born again. And Nick had a hard time with that. He goes, wait a minute, I'm already grown. I'm going to get back up in my mother's womb? No, wait a minute. No, I don't even want to think about that. No, I don't want to go there. And Jesus says, you know, you're a religious leader. You ought to know. He goes, you're born of your mother and father, which you had no control of. You need to be born of the Spirit, born of God. Born again. So this idea of born again is we were born once, but now we're born again of the Spirit into God. Our life is changed. Incidentally, going back to this whole idea about God causing us to be born again, how many of you were a part of the decision of you being born? None of you, right? hey, I want to be born. Mom and Dad, can you, no, you had nothing to do with anything like that. And you're born. Not necessarily born like that, but you know what I mean. We didn't have anything to do with that. Do you know God? This is where it goes back to God caused us to be born again and then born again into this living hope. Let's talk about this living hope idea. Sure hope tomorrow's a nice day, you know, not too cold. Yeah, hope when I get home today my wife didn't burn my chili she's going to make for me. I told people earlier, my wife really treats me like a god. She's always offering me these burnt sacrifices. No. You could tell my wife's a good cook. She really is. I taught her how to cook, by the way. I was a cook in the Coast Guard and taught her how to cook. She didn't learn that. She was a state worker. Now she's a cook. I lost what I was going to say. No, I'm going to go home. I know the chili's going to be good. You know, it's made. I mentioned this earlier, and I had some women tell me, oh, you shouldn't do it. We use ground veal. Oh, you shouldn't use veal. Don't you know what they do to those calves? Don't even. I like veal. I'm a bully. And I know it's going to be good. I'm not worried. I'm not hoping it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. But that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. See, when I came to know Jesus, there was this experience that, hey, now I'm saved from something. I was over here. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was headed for hell. Now I'm headed for heaven. And I had this hope of heaven, of glory. But you know what? It was pretty limited back then. Now I kind of see it grown. It's grown so much to where I am longing for heaven. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says, you know, I long for the things of heaven. I want to be there. He goes, for me to die would be gain. He goes, I want to be there. He goes, but whether I'm here or there, I'm going to serve God. So this living hope is this hope that's built into an assurance. You know, I can remember years ago thinking, hey, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. You know, anyone here ready for Jesus to come back? I'm ready for Jesus to come back. I want Jesus to return. You know, I'm longing for that. But I used to think, can you wait 20 years? I want you to come back, but you know, I want to enjoy this life a little bit. I want to raise my kids. I want to experience life. And you know what? I really had a misconception of what heaven's about. Because heaven is way better. He gets into talking about this a little bit further. He says, now we hope for the blessings God has for his children. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. There's this idea, this living hope, that heaven is way better. It's much better. The blessings that God has for us are there for us, and nothing can get there. Nothing can destroy them. Nothing can take them away. Nothing can cause them to blemish or diminish at all. And we have this living hope. I got to tell you, now I long for that, okay? I long for that day when Christ comes. I long for that day when I get to go be with him. But I'm asking God to wait. Not so I can enjoy life. But I'm asking God to wait because there's other people who'd need to know Jesus. There's a reality of heaven, and if there's a reality of heaven, that means there's a reality of hell. That's eternal punishment. Talking with somebody recently, and she goes, well, don't you think we can experience a little bit of hell on earth? No. You can't. Some of you have gone through some very difficult things. I know some of the things that some of you have gone through. Some of you know some of the difficult things I've gone through. Some of you have been in terrible situations. Some of you have gone through abusive situations. And I want you to know that is nothing compared to what hell will be like. we don't experience hell on earth. Just like we don't experience heaven on earth, like we're going to experience heaven when we get to be with Jesus. That is so awesome. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can remove it. Nothing can blemish it. And that's where Peter gets into that last verse I want to cover today. It says, God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. God's power protects you. If you have Jesus, you can't lose him. And there's nothing you can do that you would lose Jesus. What did Jesus say when he was praying to his Father in John 17? He goes, Father, I've had these, and I haven't lost any of the ones you have given me. I want you to know, if you're found in Jesus, if you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can't lose God. I had a young man tell me that someone said that he could lose his salvation. And I said, no, you can't lose your salvation. God can't lose you. Matter of fact, it says here, God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end time. When is the end time? When we either die or Jesus comes back. That's the end time. And he's saying very clear that his power can take care of you. His power protects you. Does that mean that we won't have difficult times? Hey, wait until we get later on in this book of 1 Peter. We're going to be talking about how Jesus suffered and we ought to expect to suffer. It's not talking about the conditions, the circumstances of our lives, but it's talking about that God protects us. He preserves us till that day of salvation, that either we die or he comes back. And then when he comes back, we have those things in heaven that he talked about that can't be spoiled, that can't rust, that can't fade away. The joys, the blessings of being with God forever. This is an assurity that he gives us. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He talks about God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure he will continue it until it is finished when Christ Jesus comes again. He says, God began a good work in you. He will bring it to completion. He will finalize it in you. And when will that work be completed? When we die or when Jesus comes back? Either way, he's bringing it to completion. See, this is the foundation that our faith is set upon. This is what we have. This is what gives assurance to us. This is what brings us along. This is what makes it so we can live each day because we face hard things. I can't imagine what Hans, his family, is facing now with a 16-year-old. But Hans, he can give you through this. He can give you strength through this. It won't be easy. You've been through other things that have been difficult. You've shared those things with me. God brought you through. He will continue to bring you through. Jesus said, in this life, you'll have many trials and tribulations. You'll go through many difficult things. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Our hope is not the world. Our hope is not anything this world may be able to offer us. Our hope, this living hope, is to be present with the Father forever. And the question comes down to, where are you with all of this? Jay, you're kind of talking pretty confident up there. And I want you to know, I am. I haven't always been as confident as I am now. It's taken 40-some years to get to this point. But I want you to know that there's an assurance that the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee that we have this hope. And I want to encourage you today to make sure you know you have this foundation that Peter is so excited about here. So I'm going to do something here. We're going to pray a little bit. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And then I've got a video that talks about worshiping something big. God is so awesome. And then the worship team is going to come and sing another song. But if you would, just close your eyes for a minute. As you're contemplating where you are at with Jesus, Maybe you've heard a lot about him. Maybe you haven't heard much about him. Maybe you would like to talk about knowing Jesus a little bit more. If you're that person that's here today that you're not sure, God forbid, if something came up today and you were standing before God, you're not sure what he's going to say, I'm going to just ask that you would look at me. Nothing too big. Just ask that you would look up at me so you catch my eye. Maybe to make it a little easier, would you just raise your hand? Let me know that you would like to make sure that you know Jesus. Lord, today we thank you and we praise you. Today, Lord, we give you glory and honor. Today, Lord, we thank you that you are the foundation of the world. We all find our being in you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who holds all things together by your powerful word. Lord, you hold us together. Today, Lord, we bless you. We give you honor and glory. We worship you. We worship you because you are something so big. Thank you, Jesus.
It was one of those beautiful mornings. The kind that takes you altogether by surprise. Where the night before, snow has secretly blanketed every square inch of the earth for miles. It just sort of catches you unawares and takes your breath away. And it's so quiet, so still. Like the entire world has stopped. Yet there's something in the air, reverberating, crackling like electricity, like a still small voice reminding you that there's something bigger behind this life, holding it all together, protecting you, guiding you, and pursuing you. Strange how easy it is to forget. There's so much noise in our lives, lobbying for our attention, pulling us away. So it helps to be reminded. It helps to be surprised by God, to be given a special opportunity to just stop and remember. You may not have noticed yet, but that's what this moment is right now. It's a moment to just be still and to remember that He is God.